You're listening to Radio Influence.
This is the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence. Your weekly glimpse inside all things Valor Fights, and a look at what's going on in the rest of the MMA community. Here are your hosts, the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy, and your color commentator, Casey Oxendine.
Welcome to the Valor Hour. A look at everything Valor Fights, as well as the headlines from combat sports across the world. Thanks for joining us, and remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. This week, we preview a big Valor Fights 46 card and speak with a great lineup of guests. And as always, Valor Fights President Tim Loy will address your questions during the Valor Hour Q&A segment. I'm Casey Oxendine, and I am joined by the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy. Tim, it's back to Music City this weekend, a big stage for the weigh-ins and beyond.
Yeah, I'm really excited. This is kind of like our last big show of the year. And, you know, great place to end it is Music City. We haven't been there since February, so we're really excited. You can tell that the teams and the town's excited for the show. And I'm really pumped to be at Tootsie's, man. You know, that's a staple of downtown Nashville. You know, anytime you and I have gone to Nashville on a pleasure trip, that's like the first, going to Tootsie's first. And that's how a lot of people are. And so really excited to have the weigh-in there on the stage. The fighters are going to feel like rock stars in front of a packed house. And then, you know, an awesome after party in the VIP section at Tootsie's sounds like a great way to end the night.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time from start to finish. Now, we are also joined by our brothers in arms, talking about Alan Poole. He is the photographer for Valor Fights. And, of course, cutman extraordinaire Mark Laws. Guys, are you having a good night tonight or what?
Yeah, I'm having a great night tonight, man. I don't know how how you doing over there, brother?
I am fantastic, man.
All right, well, let's get on into some news, and we'll kick this off right. Of course, UFC Fight Night 119 went down last Saturday night from Brazil, and it was a big night of action. Of course, headlined by Lyoto Machida and Derek Brunson. Derek Brunson with a big finish there. TKO round one, and it was a big deal there in Lyoto Machida's hometown. Tim, talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, that was who knew what was going to happen. Machida had been away for so long, and at one time, I think, you know, he would have been tailor-made the style-wise to kind of own Derek Brunson. But I think as time just passed, Brunson, you know, really just kind of dominated him there, and you know, and kind of sent the crowd home unhappy, especially like back to back with the loss with Maia too. Up until that point, the Brazilians had done really well. They almost ran the table with the exception of Jared Gordon, who won earlier. But other than that, like, all Brazilians had won.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, on the undercard there, or on the co-main event, it was Kobe Covington defeating Damian Maia by unanimous decision, which, you know, created some fireworks there, you know, outside of even the fight itself. On top of that, you know, the rest of the card, pretty stacked up there, a lot of Brazilian fighters. And John Lineker with a victory over Marlon Vera. And, you know, talk about, you know, from top to bottom, what are which fights stand out to you? Did the drama of Kobe Covington get in your head at all? Your insight.
You know, I think that, you know, Covington's obviously very good. And he's talked himself into, you know, probably some big paydays and some big fights now, because people want, you know, people want his head now. You know, he's out there selling it. But I don't know if he's got the goods to go all the way to, against the top level yet, because, you know, Maia is not a renowned striker by any means. And you look at Covington afterward, he touched him up pretty good. You know, can he hang in there with a guy like Woodley? You know, I don't know about that just yet. The rest of the card, you know, pretty good, pretty exciting, you know, night of fights. There's a lot of finishes and, you know, just good, exciting fights. What do you think, Alan? You were watching the whole Colby Covington ordeal.
Yeah, I didn't realize how offended the entire nation of Brazil was, and I probably wouldn't have put that post up on Facebook, because that line, "we ain't translating tonight," made me laugh so hard. I mean, I just kept saying that to myself over and over. "We ain't translating tonight." It just, like, I'd never heard that before, and it just, I thought everyone could understand that, you know, it's kind of a shtick that he's doing, but I guess not.
Well, I will say this. Go ahead. Go ahead, Mark.
Didn't say anything.
You didn't say anything? Well, what do you have to say about this thing? Come on.
Listen, I didn't see it live. I saw the aftermath of it. Look, you got to sell the fights. You know, you got to sell your career. Go in it for a short amount of time. More power to him. You know, he's lucky he survived, I guess. That's a tall order on any day. And, you know, when you're down in Brazil, you're lucky if you leave that country alive. You know, those are some of the most hostile fans on the planet. So, you know, I guess he got back to stateside.
All right. Well, we're definitely going back to stateside. In fact, Madison Square Garden for UFC 217 this Saturday night. And it's a big main event. Michael Bisping, the middleweight champ, UFC middleweight champ, taking on the legend in George St. Pierre. This is one that a lot of people have been waiting for. A lot of people on both sides of the fence, they're saying that, you know, George St. Pierre is one of the greatest of all times. He may just take out Mike Bisping without even blinking an eye. On the other side, a lot of people saying that George St. Pierre may just be washed up and that Michael Bisping is actually on a roll. Guys, what say you?
Who knows, man? It's a really big mystery. You know, how GSP is going to come back. He's fighting at a bigger guy who's been on a roll in Bisping, who's headstrong. So who knows, man? Like, it's interesting for sure. That I'm really intrigued by that whole card. Actually, I would have to be throwing an event the same night as that.
Yeah, undoubtedly. And of course, the co-main event, that's one that you're really, really anticipating. You almost got to see it back in the day. It was not to happen, but this time it happens on Saturday night. Cody Garbrandt taking on TJ Dillashaw. And then also, Iwana Dzerjak taking on Rose Namajunas. Going on down the card, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson versus Jorge Masvidal, which is one that I'm anticipating. I'm really looking forward to. And then Johnny Hendricks versus Paulo Costa. Guys, any of these? Well, wait a minute. I can't leave that there. Ovince St. Preux versus Corey Anderson. So we'll round it out with that one, guys. Any of these matchups that stand out to you?
A lot of them, man. I'm excited. Like, essentially, we're going to take my damn laptop over to Tootsie's after the show, and we're all going to get caught up on this card because, you know, I think we'll be over probably right when the pay-per-view's into maybe the second fight or so. So we may be able to catch the big three. But, man, you know, that co-main event is what I'm the most excited for. You know, like you mentioned, we almost got to see that one. That was the one I lost tickets for. God, I would have been real pissed if I lost the tickets in that fight had happened. But yeah, man, Cody and TJ, I'm pumped for. Of course, you know, Joanna and Rose is going to be great. Wonder Boy and Masvidal is going to be awesome. Ovince, I mean, Big Walt's on there too. I mean, it's going to be a really good card.
Undoubtedly, guys. Alan and Mark, anything stands out in particular on this card to you?
For me,
man, I'm really. Go ahead.
You want me to go ahead? Okay. For me, of course, you know, I'm a huge Ovince St. Preux fan. I just saw him, what, 2 days ago, I think? Two days ago. I was taking some pictures of him over at Frankie's Body Shop. Man, he is in shape, ready to roll. He's looking good is all I'm going to say. So, yeah, that's that one. And, of course, I've been dying to see, what's his name, Cody and Dillashaw go at it. So, yeah, those are the two that stand out for me.
All right. Well, it's going to be a big night of action, UFC 217. But unfortunately, Valor Fights 46 is going to be going on the same night, and that's going to take precedent here on the Valor Hour. So with that being said, Tim, it is time for the Valor Hour Q&A segment. Fans, you all know what this is about. This is your opportunity to send your questions to Valor Fights President Tim Loy, and he answers them right here live on the Valor Hour. Tim, are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. Question number one. Are you personally excited for the GSP Bisping fight? And who do you got?
I'm interested for sure. I'm more excited for some other fights, but I'm certainly intrigued. I'm going to go with Bisping, man. I'm going to say Bisping is too big. He's just in the groove. And I say he catches him.
And you know what? There are some rumors. You know, there's rumors where they're talking about how they, you know, like he said that GSP was all, you know, it was before USADA came along, that kind of stuff. What do you think about those rumors?
Man, you know, there's usually something to that stuff. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, but, you know, that's all just kind of, that's all word. It's all hearsay.
Yeah.
At the same time.
All right. Well, let's move on. Question number two. Who do you have in the other two title fights this weekend?
Ooh wee! I got to go with Cody, and I got to go with Joanna. But I think they're both in deep, and both could certainly be upset. But I think those are my picks.
Yeah, and I think if there is anyone that could, with as far as passing the torch, as far as with Joanna, there couldn't be a better fighter. So if she were to lose. I don't know that it would get any better than Rose Namajunas. She is such a character. So I'm really anticipating this one. I think it's a win-win for the fans. Question number three, do you notice an impact on ticket sales or viewership when you go head-to-head with a big UFC card?
Honestly, no. I don't think it's really affected us too much. You know, we haven't had to go head-to-head with, like, real, real big ones yet, but... the one time that we did when it was Connor and Aldo, we had a great turnout and we all just went and watched it afterward at the after party. So honestly, no.
Yeah, and it seems like that a lot of the fans that come out to support the fighters aren't necessarily standard MMA fans. They're huge fans of the fighters themselves. So it's really cool that you know, you hit that, and they're Valor Fights fans. You know what I mean? Like, we have our own lineup of fans and supporters. So you know, a lot of those guys don't even necessarily follow the UFC and Bellator all the time. All right, moving on. Why should we check out Valor 46 instead of UFC 217?
Oh, wow. You know, there's nothing like, you know, live MMA and up-and-coming prospects. You know, I mean, I think, you know, if you're in the Nashville area and you can check it out live, then there's nothing that beats, you know, a live experience. And, you know, we'll put on a great show for you. Not to mention, you know, these guys are hungry. These guys are some of your up-and-comers that are really trying to get to that big stage, and they're going to let it all hang out.
All right. Next question. Are there any talks to work with Bellator again?
You know, I mean, nothing concrete. I stay in a nice contact with Rich Chow pretty regularly. And, you know, I'm sure if they find it in their plans to make their way out here, I'm sure we'll be, you know, love to work with those guys again.
All right. We got one more question to go. Ideally, what would you like to accomplish by January?
Oh, January, so soon. You know, I guess by January, I'd like to have 2018 mapped out, including a couple new regions, a couple new markets, you know, have some new professional champions being ready to be crowned and, you know, just kind of gearing up for whatever 2018 brings us.
All right. Well, that does it for another Valor Hour Q&A segment. Now, remember, listeners, send in your questions. We want to know. We want to hear from you. And we will keep you posted. And Tim Loy will answer your questions here live. With that being said, it is time to move on to some great interviews. We have a big lineup tonight. We are joined by Edward Massey, 4-1 professional MMA prospect out of SSF in Clarksville, Tennessee, and he prepares to face Jacob Kilburn this Saturday night at Valor Fights 46 in the main event. Ed, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, how are you guys? It's been an honor to be here. Thank you, Casey.
Always good to have you. I think we've had you on before, Ed, in the past, but you know, now you're set to take on Jacob Kilburn in a very highly anticipated fight this weekend. You know, you're moving up to 145 pounds. I always thought you were a really big 135 pounder with your reach and length.
Talk about taking this fight at 145 and, you know, kind of what prompted that. I know you it was always kind of hard on you to make 35, but you certainly had some major advantages, I thought, with length and reach. Talk about the, you know, this fight versus Kilburn and in fighting at 45, and also, you know, this being kind of the semifinal, if you will, towards your first chance at a professional title down the road.
Yeah, I'm taking the fight at 45. 35 is just getting to the point where, you know, I'm getting bigger. You know, I'm still young, growing into my frame, you know, so 45 just seemed like the smarter move for my body. As for, you know, Kilburn and, you know, size and everything else, I really don't think all that's really going to matter once, you know, the cage door shuts and everything. I think he's going to get in there and figure out that I'm actually a bigger force than he expects to be messing with, you know. I'm just going to go in there and I'm going to impose my will on him. And then from there, you know, I'm calling an early finish for it. Like from the other fights, you know, I've been going in there and I had some decisions and everything. This one, I'm definitely not going to be playing around. Definitely going to go in there and go for the goal of putting him out.
You've been battle tested early. You know, you've been in there with some pretty tough guys early on, including your last fight, your first loss. But, you know, that was against a guy in Veron Webb, who's, you know, very experienced guy. That's been a pro for years and years, and one of the top prospects in the whole East Coast, I would dare to say. And you fought him very close. I honestly would not have had a problem with you getting that decision. I thought you were the more active guy, kind of taking the fight to him. But, you know, regardless, what did you take away from that fight, your first defeat there? You know, are you motivated coming off of that?
I am. I'm very motivated coming off of that. And I wouldn't call it a defeat. It was more of a lesson. I definitely learned a lot from it. A lot of things, more mental and, you know, I've just kept on going from there. Because, you know, I like you said, I mean, it was a close fight, but I really didn't come out hurt or anything. So I didn't have a need to slow down or anything. So I took the lessons I learned from it. I'm not going to tell what lessons I learned from it because I'm not trying to give anything away for, you know, for anybody to go back on. But I took my lessons from it. And then, you know, I came back and you're going to see a different me that steps in that cage November 4th. I'm going to come in there. I'm going to put my hands on Kilburn. He's not going to like it. And then we'll just cash the check and then we'll call it a day from there.
Well, Ed, you know, you really epitomize the Valor Fights organization. You know, you've been here through the beginning, really all the way through your amateur career, you know, through your pro career. And, you know, right at a year ago, you were headlining Valor Fights 40. The same arena, in front of all of your fans and in front of, you know, the Valor Fights organization. This is a guy, Kilburn, who is not as familiar with the Valor Fight organization. So you kind of see it as a homecoming for you, and do you see it sort of as, you know, taking care of maybe some outsider work? You know, I mean, Kilburn, of course, we're awesome having him here, but you're a guy who's established here in the Valor Fights promotion. Do you feel like that you're kind of, protecting the gate, if you will?
I love Valor. You know, they've always been a great promotion for me. I'll fight on them as many times as I could a year, possibly. But, you know, when it comes for me going in there with Kilburn, I'm going in there for the kill. I'm not, you know, yeah, he's taking care of outside work and everything, but I'm going in there strictly to fight, you know. There's nothing else on my mind or in my head. I'm just going in there to take care of him. From there on, you know, it is what it is. Yeah, he's an outsider and everything, but I'm just going in there just to – my main goal is to take out Kilburn.
All right. Well, real quick, go ahead and let's hear your shout-outs where they're due, all your friends, family, backers and supporters, and then also all your social media plugs where we can find you. If you've picked up the Snapchat since the last time we talked, you need to go ahead and throw that out there as well.
All righty. Well, first off, shout-out to my sponsors, Black Cat Tattoo, Blackout Fight Gear, Fox's Barbecue, JCD Strong Fitness, my gym, SSF, of course. Shout out to the Valor Fights, of course, for without you guys, none of this beer would happen. the fans even more, because without them, Valor fights wouldn't be able to happen. And, my Facebook is Edward the Ninja Massey. My Instagram is at Edward the Ninja Massey Official. Do not have the Snapchat yet. Not much of a selfie guy, but I'll get on there.
All right. Sounds great. Edward Massey returns to competition this Saturday night at Valor Fights 46 as he headlines the card for a second time in Music City. Edward, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
All righty. Thank you.
I am joined by Nate Williams, 5-3 professional prospect out of X3 Sports in Atlanta, Georgia, and he prepares to face Cromwell Stewart this Saturday night at Valor Fights 46 in the co-main event. Nate, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me. Feels good to finally be here.
Yeah, man, it's been a long time coming. You know, Nate's a guy that we've been trying to get up here on Valor shows for a good while now. And, you know, we've started to get this influx of X3 talent. It's been great. You know, these guys have come up here very professional to deal with and always put on a good show. So we're excited to have Nate up here for the big show in Nashville this weekend, man. For the listeners out there that aren't familiar with you, you know, I know you're a stud. Give us a little rundown of your background and what kind of your career up to this point.
I've been wrestling since I was 12. I just turned 30 this year. So, long, extensive career in wrestling. Went 39-4 my senior year in high school. Got lost in the state semifinals by 1 point. Ended up getting third. Wrestled for a while at Gardner Webb University, D1, small D1 school in North Carolina before transferring out. Finishing up got my degree at Savannah State University, and then it was just after I finished school, man, it was just something else. I just still had that desire to compete, that desire to, you know, that desire for camaraderie, that desire, you know. So I looked up mixed martial arts, and it was ironic because I actually when I was in college, it was something I said I would never do. I was playing UFC game with my friends, and I was like, man, this is crazy. I would never do this. Like, literally, those are my words verbatim. Like, I would never do this crazy stuff. And I mean, like I said, I graduated from college and still had the will to compete. Googled MMA gyms in the area, and X3 Sports was one of the closest gyms to me. At the time, I went, did an intro to BJJ class, and signed up immediately right then for 2-year agreement. And I was like, hey, this is something that I know I want to do, and it's going to take, you know, more than just 1-2 years. So I signed up for a 2-year agreement. 5 years later, I'm a 5-3 professional now. So purple belt in jiu-jitsu, 3-stripe purple belt in jiu-jitsu. Hopefully I'm working to get my brown belt before the end of the year. So, I mean, just, you know, that's a little bit about me after that.
I think this is a really interesting matchup with you and Cromwell. Cromwell, also a decorated wrestler from the Nashville area, also a semi-pro football player. So two very established athletes going at it. Talk about the matchup. You know, how do you see it playing out? Both you guys are very athletic and explosive. I think this one should be a fun one.
Cromwell's tough. Cromwell's athletic. Like you said, Casey Atkindine coins him the Slam Master. So, I mean, just that, you know, that right there tells you the body of work Cromwell has done in the cage. But, I mean, not to take anything away from Cromwell, like I said, Cromwell's tough. He's a very seasoned, very game opponent. But, I mean, I'm on another level right now, and I'm not just talking about just being self-confident, cocky, whatever you want to call it. I'm on another level. I'm on the way to the UFC. 2018 is my year. I will be in the UFC, and I'm leading my brothers, Robert Hill, Cole Farrell, Derek Wilson, and all those. I'm leading them to glory land, as they say. But, I mean, I'm the best featherweight unsigned to the UFC right now, southeast, northeast, period. I'm 5'11". I'm the same height as Max Holloway, 5'11", with a 74-inch reach. So I got the same reach as Conor McGregor. I can wrestle. I got good boxing, good stand up, good jiu-jitsu, good Muay Thai. I'm dangerous. I don't see Cromwell being able to get inside, come inside to reach. If he does, he's gonna shoot, and we know that's not gonna be good thing for him. If he backs up, he covers up. you know, I have the options to stand on the feet, or I have the options to take them down and finish the fight there. Because like I said, I'm a purple belt in jiu-jitsu, and I do train with daily one of the best grapplers in the world, Bruno Frazzato. Right now, I think he's like top four, top three featherweight jiu-jitsu practitioners in the world right now. So, I mean, I just honestly don't see where Cromwell has an advantage in this fight.
Well, Nate, outside of this matchup, which is going to be fantastic, there is a larger picture. And, of course, this is essentially a semifinal matchup. On the other side, or the semifinal matchup for the featherweight championship tournament, and on the other side, we've got Edward Massey and Jacob Kilburn matched up at this one. Of course, they're two Clarksville guys, so they're two Middle Tennessee guys. Of course, Cromwell's a Middle Tennessee guy. You're the odd man out. You're an Atlanta guy. You're down in Georgia. Talk about the tournament on the other side. You know, you'll be looking at the winner of that matchup. You know, give your insight on that, and also your insight on how it feels to kind of come in from the outside. I mean, this is a big opportunity for three Middle Tennessee guys, but it could be the Atlanta boy that steals the show.
The other side of the matchup, I think it's a pretty good matchup. I think Ed Massey's going to pull it out. I mean, if you're any type of guy who's serious about the sport and you're going to pay attention to, you know, guys in your weight class. So I've been watching Ed Massey for a while. I just heard about Jacob Kilburn, I guess, actually when the tournament was announced. And I researched him. He's also a very tough, very scrappy individual. I think they're going to really put on the show for the main event. But I think Ed Massey is just skillful. He's also another long rangy featherweight. He can fight at 35. He's fought at 35 before. I can't make 35 to save my life. I'm actually not struggling, but it's a task in itself for me to actually make 145. So, but Edwards, he's rangy. I think he has the skill set to beat Jacob Kilburn. I think Ed Massey will be the one to come victorious. I think they'll put on the show, but I think Ed Massey will come out probably with the finish. I see Ed Massey finishing it like mid-second, if not, if it goes into the third round. But I see Ed Massey probably finishing the fight mid-second round, TKO, what have you. But it's just it's an honor. Like I said, Tim Lloyd said before, I've been trying to get on a Valor card for a while. I think ever since I was still an amateur, matter of fact, we've been, trying to make it happen. So now it's finally happening. And versus the three Tennessee guys, I feel like I'm the favorite. I mean, not trying to sound cocky or just, you know, but most of these guys knew who I was before this tournament started. I mean, I knew Cromwell, like I said, just because his name was mentioned like before, like a long time ago when Tim and I was trying to get some things established. And I think we both were still amateurs and he was mentioned before for me to try to fight him. But besides that, I mean, I looked up Ed Massey. I knew who Ed Massey was, but besides that, I don't really know these guys. I mean, you know, but I can guarantee you they knew who I was or who I am. So, I mean, If to say the least, I'm the favorite coming in. Even though it's in Tennessee, the tournament is in Tennessee, I'm the favorite coming in. The Valor fights, the Tennessee audience doesn't know who on whom, especially from how vocal I was at the last Valor Fights 45. If they're not familiar with who I am, Saturday night, they will know.
Absolutely. Well, real quick, man, I'm going to give you the opportunity to give the shout outs where they're due. All your teammates, friends, family, everyone that supported you along the way, sponsors as well. Give your plugs. And then also all of the places on social media that we can find and follow you leading up to this fight. I know it's going to be crazy. So everybody's going to want to stay up to date with what you got going on leading into the matchup on Saturday.
Big shout out to the big man upstairs, because without him, none of this would be possible. I don't care what people say, but if you got to have something to believe in, so that's what I believe in. And without him, like I said, none of this would be able to be achieved. And number two, I'm gonna give a shout out to my wife, because man, cooking my meals, helping me with the weight cut, massaging, anything that I need to make this fight camp easier, because it makes it easier. My wife does it, so shout out. She's actually driving me up Friday for weigh-in. So shout out to my wife, shout out to my team, X3 Sports. The Valor Fights has got it going for them.
Cole Farrell, Robert Hale, Derek Wilson, Shamel Finley, Joe Bradley. We got more killers. We got a few more killers lined up. King Thorpe. I got a few guys, you know, ready to go. But my team, of course, like I said, my coaches, Gabriel Katiba, Bruno Fazzato, Tony Tucci, Mike Littrell, Isidoro Nicholas. Shout out to my coaches, like I said, my team, Mixed Three Sports out of Atlanta. And shout out to my sponsors, Performance Ready Athletics, A Fighter for Life, Prototype Combat Team, always keeping me fresh, always keeping me in the latest fight gear, looking good. And that's it. And shout out to Valor. Shout out to y'all, because it's a long time coming. I know you've heard good things about me, and I promise you, come Saturday, I will not disappoint.
All right, we are very excited. Nate Williams returns to action in mixed martial arts competition as he faces Cromwell Stewart in the co-main event of Valor Fights 46 that goes down this Saturday night. Everybody get your tickets now. And Nate, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thank y'all. Hey, don't hear about it. I promise you, don't be the one to hear about it. Be there. Get your tickets. View it live. I promise you'll be something you'll want to see.
We are joined by Dre Miley, 2-1 professional MMA prospect, fighting out of KMAA in Knoxville, Tennessee, and he prepares to face Chris Okan at Valor Fights 46 this Saturday night. Dre, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure, man. You know, you're set to fight Chris Okan, a flyweight here this weekend, going into his territory. Most of your fights so far have been at home. However, your one fight away from home actually was here in Nashville almost a year ago to the day, November the 5th of last year. Talk about what's changed from then till now. That was a fight against Nathan Lindsay, your one pro loss that you were doing very well in, winning the fight, got caught in a submission. I know you started training over at Frankie's Body Shop. Talk about just what's happened over the last year, essentially.
Basically, like you said, I started training at Frankie's Body Shop. I knew I needed to evolve myself because that Nathan Lindsay fight, it left me with a bad taste in my mouth. Even though I won my last fight, I still wasn't happy because I was actually beating him every bit of the fight. There's not one part where he scared me besides getting caught in a guillotine. So my training has just been evolve myself, make sure if there's any holes in my game, close them up. If not, get them as close as possible. And pretty much just have fun with everything now that I'm able to fight in Tennessee and other states without having to worry about any commission saying no. So that was just pretty much it, just evolving and just doing what I love doing and being around people that I love.
Well, Dre, talk a little bit about your opponent, Chris Okan. Now, of course, he's a pro debut, but this is a guy that has a very extensive background. He's listed as 4-0, but it goes way, way deeper. He was fighting on a lot of the shows that have never been recorded, and he's a guy that is known for being very well-rounded. We saw him last time in his effort. He took the Valor Fights Bantamweight Championship. He looked very solid there. We spoke with him last week. He's very, very confident. He believes that he's got the edge in all areas. And so I got to ask you, what is your take on that? What do you think how do you think that you match up in this fight?
Well, I think that I honestly believe that if he believes that he has the edge, he's already trying to compensate for knowing that he is not good, better than me in every other way, because I train with some killers. So, I mean, Nick Gertz is my main training partner, and James Adcock, who were, the top of the area pros here. So, it's not like I'm going in here and just being a big dog in a small yard. So, I see him. He has some decent striking. His Muay Thai is decent, and his wrestling is pretty good. So, I mean, I love fighting against wrestlers. That's what makes me happy. So, I deal with wrestlers on a daily basis, so. If he comes in overconfident, it's going to make a good fight for me.
All right. Well, we have a full lineup in here now. We've got Mark. We've got Alan. You guys have any words for Dre Miley, man, as he returns to Nashville?
Yeah, man. Hey, Dre, this is Alan. What's up, man?
What's up, man?
Hey, man. So I don't want to make a real big deal about it, but can you talk a little bit about being, you know, a fighter, you know, with being able to basically just one eye, you know, what's different for you and, you know, like how you've persevered, like what have you done, you know, to get past, you know, the people that have been holding you back? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Well, basically to keep me going is just the fact that I have Eric and I have Joey, and then I also have Vince and Nick and everybody else at the gym that keeps telling me you have to keep showing up. You have to keep proving people wrong because you know the capabilities of what you're able to do. So all I did was just come to the gym every day, and I know I'm blind in my left eye, but that's probably the side that most people want to come to, but that's probably the side most people do not want to come to because I've worked on in that side, and I've learned to adapt to combat as in watching body language of people rather than studying tapes and studying what punches they do. I'd rather watch their body and figure out what they're going to do by then. And then by that time, I'm usually moving my feet and I got my hands up and I'm throwing stuff out the way. So there's a lot of things you got to work on. Like depth perception was a big thing. But after a while, I got the hang of it, so now I can gauge my distance better. So, I mean, that's all it was, just your reflexes and your depth perception. Those were the main big things I had to work on.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever been in a fight, you know, on the same note, and I was just curious, have you ever been in a fight where, you know, it's one thing if you were in the fight and you were to get poked in the eye and you have two eyes. If you get poked in the eye and it's one, and it's your good eye, you know, that's a problem. Have you ever had to deal with situations like that where it's not so much, you know, the act itself, but you are relying on that one eye solely?
Yeah, I have. I mean, there's times where, like, we'll be sparring at the gym and I get poked in my good eye and I'm like, that kind of hurts, but otherwise I just can't keep pushing it. I mean, yeah, I got to understand that, but that's why I'm always constantly moving, always constantly surveying everywhere I'm at because I have to protect that at all times.
Absolutely. Well, real quick, Dre, go ahead and give some shout outs where they're due. All your teammates, friends, supporters, family, everyone that has gotten you to the place that you're at right now. And then, of course, we need to have your social media plugs where we can find you and follow you, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and so forth.
All right. I'd like to give a shout out to Frankie's Body Shop for helping me in my strength and conditioning program, Tori Frankel for cooking my food, make sure it's really great. Chloe Padilla for putting a great nutritional meals together for me. Everybody from KMA all the way up to the head is Eric Turner and Joey Zonar for keeping me on this path of focus. Nick Gertz, James Edcock, all those guys, Jamel Strong. Guys who just keep me in the gym and keep me motivated, keep me positive, keep me wanting to come back and wanting to be better. That's pretty much who all I got to thank besides my family. I mean, my mom and my dad, grandparents, and the list goes on. My social medias are, you can find me at Dre Miley. I think it's Dre Miley 22. Facebook. My Instagram is Dre Miley MMA 125. That's pretty much all I do for Instagram and Facebook right now. So I'm working on a Twitter. I don't have one right now, but mainly Facebook and Instagram is where everybody can find me.
All right. Dre Miley returns to action this Saturday night in the feature bout at Valor Fights 46. Get your tickets now. You don't want to miss this great card and this great matchup. Dre, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
We are joined by Dakota McPherson, 5-1, amateur mixed martial arts fighter out of Conrad Fitness in Savannah, Tennessee. And he prepares to face Billy Swanson this Saturday night at Valor Fights 46. Dakota, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, appreciate y'all for having me, man.
We're excited to have you, of course. It being your first time on the Valor Hour, not your first time with Valor Fights. Actually, made your debut with us last year, but you know, we've done the started the podcast since then. So, quick rundown, give our listeners a bit of your background, and you know, quick intro to Dakota McPherson.
Well, you know, man, I started training probably in high school for a little while, and then I got out of it, went and played some college ball and stuff. And we just, you know, they opened up a gym back home, and I kind of picked it back up. I actually didn't expect to start fighting or anything. I was just training to kind of stay in shape or whatever. And a couple of my friends took a fight for Valor, Michael Ryland and Seth Boswell, kind of fired me up, and I wanted to give it a shot. So we went for it and wound up doing well. Over at the gym in Savannah, man, you know, we really – It's a strike oriented gym. You could probably say that because a lot of us finish our fights with strikes and TKOs, but they produce some very well-rounded fighters. We got a great wrestling coach that comes down and Mark Beckwith. And of course our coach has a jiu-jitsu background as well. And so it just, we really like to produce some well-rounded fighters out of Savannah. And that's just kind of what we go for, man. 24 years old, been married for about a year and a half now to my beautiful wife. As a matter of fact, when I fought Jonathan, it was right after my wedding. So she was happy I didn't do it before.
Well, you're talking about being around guys that like to finish fights. And, you know, looking at your record here, man, that's the epitome of what you're about. It's TKO slash take KO all the way across the board. One loss, but that is a very, very close split decision. So the only time you've gone the distance, it was close. Talk about, you know, your opponent, Billy Swanson, a tough individual as well. He only has one loss on his record as well. And I've seen a little bit of talk there, a little bit of talk back and forth. Talk about your opponent and talk about your intents in this fight.
Well, you know, I mean, Billy's like a heck of a guy, you know, like I really don't hold anything against him. I know what it's like, you know, sometimes it just gets the better of you, your emotions, and you want to, you know, talk a little here and there. You got to sell the fights. I get that. I've never been that way. It's just, it's hard for me to get into that mind frame. So that's kind of why I just kind of lay back and let everything go how it's going to go. But, you know, we know Billy is the wrestling coach over there. And we also know that David and them have a good Muay Thai background. When you get to this level of fighting these kind of guys, you always got to expect them to be well-rounded. You know, I'm not really worried about the takedown. I'm not worried about the striking. I mean, you know, these are all things that you expect a mixed martial artist to apply in the cage. So really wherever it goes, I'm comfortable. You know, we produce well-rounded fighters just like those guys do over there. I tell you, I watched him. The only fight that I watched of his when he first started out was when he got knocked out by Denzel. And, man, I didn't expect that. You know, I thought that was going to be a brutalizing with his wrestling. And it really shocked me. But outside of that, man, he's been solid. You know, he's fought a bunch of solid guys. I just don't think he's fought anybody quite like this, you know. Kind of for this camp, man, we had that fight October the 14th where we won the V3 heavyweight belt down in Tunica, Mississippi against T. Cummins. And we took from that fight and moved forward because it's kind of the same game plan, you know. Obviously, Billy's got, you know, a deeper background and is more technical than T was, but they still kind of like to do the same things. So we just kind of, we took the same approach and decided to keep pushing forward with the same game plan, same cardio, just might as well just stay in fight shape. So, you know, 3 weeks later, here we are. 100% ready to go, and I know Billy's 100% and ready to go, and I'm looking forward to a big man war.
Well, I'll say this, man. It's one that I've really been looking forward to because it seems like that you've been out in West Tennessee doing your thing, And, you know, Billy has been here. You guys have both been extremely active. It's hard to find heavyweight opponents, first off. I'm sure you'll attest to that. You know, it especially guys that are tough. And, you know, Billy, you know, you know this. He's coming off that win at Bellator. So both of you guys have been active here in the month of October, now November. You know, I'm sure you saw that fight as well. Talk about what you saw there. And what you're taking away from it. And, you know, there's a lot of momentum going for both of you guys. What do you think is going to be the breaking point? What's going to make the difference?
You know, I really think it's going to come down to the grappling. He's an absolutely fantastic grappler. And I don't put myself on a collegiate athlete's level at all as far as grappling goes. But I do have a good grappling coach in Mark Beckwith. He's, you know, grappled with Greco-Olympic wrestlers and so I really trust his insight to everything that he provides, and I really feel like that's going to be the breaking point. You know, who wins that part of the battle, because, you know, I feel like if we can do some work against his grappling, he may want to stand a little more, which is okay. You know, I feel like he's going to be sneaky explosive in the stand up too, but really I feel like grappling is going to make the difference. If you can control where the fight goes, you can control the fight essentially. And then with his Christian Eccles fight, you know, I didn't really get to see much of it. The live streams weren't very good, and I haven't watched much film on it. I know he finished with a key lock, which I've seen him do that in a couple of different fights too. And, you know, I was joking with someone the other day. I was like, if you've seen Billy fight once, you've kind of seen him fight a bunch, because, you know, he always, you know, wants to get that takedown, and once he gets you down there, he just smothers you, you know. You can be as good as you want down there, but when you got a big guy with technique that knows how to use his weight, it's always tough down there.
Absolutely. Well, real quick, Dakota, I'm going to give you the opportunity. Give all the shout-outs to where they're due, your supporters, your friends, family, and teammates, everybody that's helped you get to this point, as well as all of your social media plugs and shout-outs. We need to know where we can find you and follow you and keep up with you leading into this big Valor Fights 46 matchup.
Well, you know, first off, we always give a huge shout-out to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the reason we do all this, man. You know, we always want to give glory to God anytime we step into the cage and represent Him. You know, I give a huge shout out to Savannah, Tennessee. These guys are so supportive. We've got a bunch of Facebook followers that have come forward, and we've really been bumping the social media for the past month or so, and the support's been unreal. We've got fans, you know, and friends down in Olive Branch and over in Memphis and everywhere over here in West Tennessee that's just wanting to come and show some support. Huge shout out to V3 Fights. You know, I love those guys to death. They do give me. They give me a bunch of crap, but at the same time, you know, they're a family just like you guys are family. We always just, we come out and we try to perform together. Hopefully I can represent pretty well with their belt. Huge shout out to my wife and my family. You know, if these guys didn't support me the way that they did, I wouldn't be able to train how I do, because I work on the boat a month and I'm home a month. And, you know, my schedule is really a wrestling for them. You know, we've got sponsors at fightworld.com. or Fight World TV. If you guys go like them and check them out, they keep up with us. We've got a Facebook at Dakota Fearless. We've got a Twitter and an Instagram. Everything's around the same thing at Dakota Fearless. And we just appreciate the support and love you guys give us, you know, all of our teammates and all of our family and friends. We just appreciate it.
All right. Dakota McPherson returns to action this Saturday night at Valor Fights 46 as he faces Billy Swanson for that heavyweight strap. Dakota, thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you this weekend.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
We are joined by Billy Swanson, the 8-1 amateur Valor Fights heavyweight champion, and he prepares to face Dakota McPherson this Saturday at Valor Fights 46. Billy, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Hi, thank you guys. Always a pleasure having me.
Hey, man, I think this is the first time we've got to talk to you since you got your win on Bellator about a month ago now. It's not even been a month. It's been just like 3 weeks. you know, congratulations on that. Got the finish in the second round over one of the top amateur heavyweights out of Alabama. Talk a little bit about that experience before we jump into what's up this weekend.
Well, it was a great experience. We got to go out there and compete in front of thousands of people on a high level, you know, for Bellator. Honestly, I mean, I'm just honored that they wanted me to fight for them. I mean, like I said, it was a great experience. Christian Eccles, I mean, he came ready to fight heavy-handed. I was able to get the takedown, beat on him a little bit, but he kept coming up, went for a couple submissions in the first round. And then second round came out, I threw more at him on our feet, and then right before I finished him, I took him back down. I started ground and pounding him again, and then kind of pounced on him when he was dazed, and locked up Americana and got the submission. But like I said, it was a great experience. After the fight, I walked around and hung out at the race and met a lot of people who didn't know who I was before the fight, and kind of watched the fight and became a fan. So, I mean, it was overall, like I said, a great experience.
What would you say was the toughest obstacle? Your opponent, the atmosphere, if you will, the scene, or the environment, if you will, the humidity, being a little thicker out there. What was the hardest thing to overcome? Probably a combination.
Well, I mean, I like to say that I've grown up in rough circumstances. I mean, I'm always kind of I'm game no matter what the conditions. But the heat was definitely, I mean, that was a lot to take in. I mean, it really did not take much to be like soaked in sweat. It was obviously very draining. It was on the infield, so you had a bunch of campfire, and the smoke was blowing through the cage. And so, honestly, I was not happy with my performance in the moment, but I was glad, you know, that I was able to survive everything, get the victory still. But I would say definitely the heat is something. If you're going to fight outside, you definitely need to be prepared for it and train outside.
Well, Billy, moving into this fight on Saturday, and, you know, you've been really busy with this last fight of Coach Dakota. He fought in October as well. He got a big win. You're 8-1. He's 5-1. Two of possibly the two best heavyweights in Tennessee, if not the Southeast, going right here. Talk about this guy. I've seen there's been a little bit of banter back and forth, but for the most part, it's been pretty straight up, man. You can just tell it's going to be a big fight.
Well, we both only lost one. His first fight, he actually fought a former. You know, training partner of mine, Jonathan Walton. He got a second round TKO in that one. He's a tough guy. He's the V3 champion. I mean, he looks to be good all around. But honestly, I'm coming for him. I mean, I'm on a roll right now, and people aren't going to be able to, you know, really. I don't see Dakota McPherson really posing too much of a threat. I think I'm going to go out here. I'm going to show people what I've really been working on. I think I'm going to knock him out, and I'm going to knock him out quickly. I'm ready for this fight. I just fought 3 weeks ago. My body's healed up. I feel good. My hands feel good. My kicks are flowing good. My grappling's on point as always. Expect a big show come Saturday. I'm coming to put somebody's lights out.
Very, very cool. I will say this. We were speaking with Dakota earlier, and he was actually saying that he felt like that the striking, you know, maybe evened out a little bit. He believes that the ground is where it's going to be the decider, and he believes he's superior in that regard. He respects the wrestling, and he respects your game, and he respects even that you got the submission in your last outing against a purple belt. But he believes that you've never faced an athlete on his level, and that that he's going to take it. How do you respond to that? What do you say to that?
Oh, shit. Okay. Athlete on his level. I saw this meme actually earlier, and it kind of poses how I feel now. And it said, it was the guy off Sling Blade, and where it says, I feel like starting some shit today. Mm-hmm. So honestly, I mean, he's not, I don't think striking's even out. He runs from punches. Okay. So he's going to run. I'm going to kick him in the mouth. I mean, if he really tries to come forward at me, he's not going to stop my grappling. I mean, I train with good people. He does not train with these hillbillies. He trains with are not anywhere on my level or anyone that I train with's level. And so, I mean, grappling, for him to say he has a superior edge, if you look at half of my victories, they're submissions. Okay, that's not just wrestling. That's jiu-jitsu as well. I may be a white belt. That's only because I don't wear a gi. Like, I mean, I'm a superior grappler. What did he do in high school? He played football. I wrestled. Okay, there's no way in hell whatever he's learned since he graduated high school, because we're the same age. So in 5 years, he has not learned what I've learned in 13 years of wrestling. And now 2 years of MMA. I mean, I'm going to knock him out in the first round, and I'm going to leave it. I'm going to spill his blood. He can say I've not fought superior athletes. Shit, Ben Rowland would sleep his ass in 15 seconds. I mean, he's not ready for it. I'm about to finish him. I'm going out with a win. I'm going pro in February. I'm coming for every heavyweight belt around the area. It is what it is. I'm about to make millions.
Billy, real quick, give us all of your shout outs. Of course, your teammates, your family, friends, everybody that's got you here. And of course, as always, your social media plugs.
All my social medias, you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It's swanson.billyswanson1994 and Billy Swanson. All of them, you know, and it's a pretty obvious picture of me. I'd like to thank all my sponsors, all my friends, family, anybody who supports me, everybody I work with. David Robbins put a lot of work into me, man. I'd like to thank Sid Wheeler and the guys at Blaylocks. I'd like to thank Chris Beasley, Tony Johnson, Logan Woods, DJ Miller, all those guys up at Nashville MMA and Sid the Law Muay Thai. And then I would also like to thank Warren Thompson and Wayne and Nick and all those guys down at Majiro Gym in Atlanta. Like I said, thanks to anybody who supports me. If you doubt me, watch me.
Your heavyweight Valor Fights champion, Billy Swanson, returns to action this Saturday night at Valor Fights 46. Be sure to get your tickets now. You don't want to miss this heavyweight showdown. Billy, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
All right, thank you guys.
We are joined by DJ Miller, 4-3 professional Muay Thai fighter out of Sithala and Nashville MMA. And he prepares to head into Valor Fights 46 this Saturday night as he faces Avante Moore. DJ, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, we're excited to have you. We don't do too many Thai fights, but when we do, we usually do it in Nashville because I always want to make sure we get DJ on there just because I think he's got, you know, the ability to actually go somewhere with this shit, comparatively speaking to most of the other, you know, guys in the area that are just strictly Thai guys. So we always want to make sure we get him a fight on there. And so we were kind of holding off on really locking something down because we knew he had a fight a couple weeks back. But, you know, literally, I think it was that night after the fight was over, we went ahead and locked down his opponent for this one. So it was real quick. And so, again, always excited to have DJ on and talk a little bit about this last one, man. I hear it was at like a private house party. Was it like some like eyes wide shut kind of stuff or what's going on?
It was an event for some business that was doing a celebration, and they thought, hey guys, what's a fun thing to do? Let's watch a bunch of grown men beat the shit out of each other. So we got to dance around in the ballrooms, a nice place. nice venue. So it was pretty cool.
And okay, you won that by cut stoppage, right?
Yes, it was an elbow right up and a cut above the eye. Blood was just going pretty good, so it was a stoppage.
So you face Avante Moore going into this weekend. You know, it's not easy. I'll say this, you know, on Tim's behalf. I know for a fact it's not easy to find a matchup for you there in your hometown. Man, you've got a very big reputation. Moore steps up. Tell us, what do you know about Avante Moore? And, you know, what is your strategy going into this fight?
I know absolutely nothing about the dude. He's got no footage. Never heard of him. I know he's going to have a size advantage. I think he walks around at like 180 or 190 or something. But size does not win fights. I'm not cutting a single pound for this fight. I'm walking around at 170. So I'm going to be healthy. I'm going to feel good. And I may weigh 170, he may 190, but I'll hit him like I weigh 225, so that's all there is to the.
It's always kind of a challenge, like Casey said, because, I mean, it does. You don't have to look far to find you once you start looking you up and see that, you know, you're a killer. And it's odd because there are some, you know, I know you mainly want to fight guys that are mainly Thai guys, that not necessarily MMA guys that cross over into Thai fights just to kind of stay busy, which is usually what I'm able to dig up for you. But, you know, in this case, you know, you've got a guy that hasn't fought in a long time. I really don't know much about him either. I know that he's maybe a trainer at Team Octopus there in Atlanta. Casey, you're probably more familiar with them than me even, but more of a grappling based school, I would imagine. You know, so he really is kind of a mystery. But he was, you know, he was gung ho, and he looked you up and was ready to step in there and do it. You know, I've had other guys from Atlanta that are pretty decorated Thai guys that are pretty legit that I've, you know, tried hard to get up here to come up here and fight you. And they just don't want to do it. So we kind of have to, you know, take what we can get, but taking nothing away from Avante, he's been very professional, and, you know, what I can tell, he's in shape and he'll come ready to bang.
That's good. That's good. I want to put a good fight up for my fans and everything. The way I see it, if he's not been in the ring a long time, looks like someone's just looking for a payday, which is okay, because you got to get yours. I'm going to recommend, like, look, dude, I'm going to show you that I'm not the fighter you just take a fight against to get money, because you're going to turn around and spend the money on the hospital bills. So thanks for coming, but I got to send you back to where you came from.
DJ, what do you think is your most powerful weapon? I've really got to know you and your style well when you entered the 2015 Valor Fights Contender Promotions Grand Prix Tournament, and you won that and some big victories there over some guys that are really renowned in the MMA world under Thai rules. One thing that, you know, one part that really stood out is your clinch work, your knees. You're very, very dangerous there. As you mentioned, you know, you just got a cut stoppage, man. You're using those elbows. But if you had to rattle off one particular weapon in your arsenal that stands out above all of the rest, what would that be?
I guess it really depends on the rule set. Close to pretty much every professional fight I've had, my opponent has shed blood, either me or him. All my pro fights have been under full Thai rules, so they've been elbows allowed, except for one. But, yeah, apart from elbows, it's going to be my knees. But when I have the chance to those bows, I'm going to throw them a lot, and you're going to bleed a lot. So definitely the elbows.
Very, very cool. All right, real quick, I'm going to give you a chance to give your shout-outs where they're due. All of your friends, family, supporters, everybody that has helped get you here along the way. And also, I need your social media plugs, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those places we can go and follow DJ Miller leading up to this fight and beyond.
All right, I want to give a shout-out to my team, Seth the Lawnmower Time, my coach, Chris Beasley. The guys at National MMA, great facility, great team. We've got a bunch of guys on this card headlining the show. Also want to give out a shout out to my place of profession, Title Boxing Nashville. I've used that facility in my fight camp also. And what else? Follow me on Instagram. I'm Sith the Law _DJ. follow me for stuff. I post a lot of fitness stuff, a lot of instructional videos, a lot of goofy stuff. Everybody knows I'm a character. So check us out at Valor on November 4th. It's going to be a great show. I'm one of the later fights, so nice little break from the MMA. I'll give you some good stand-up striking.
All right. DJ Miller returns to action this Saturday night. Valor Fights 46, professional Muay Thai action. DJ, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Always a pleasure.
All right. Thanks to all of our guests for a great lineup of interviews. We're going to see all of those guys in action this Saturday night. And with that in mind, without further ado, it is time for the main event of this week's Valor Hour. We're talking about the Valor Fights 46 event preview, and we've got a great panel here tonight. In addition to Valor Fights president Tim Loy, we are joined by Command Mark Laws, photographer Alan Poole, and Sawyer Rich. Sawyer, you can name yourself whatever you want to call yourself.
Pretty much, could have been probably a pretty good fighter, but I really don't give a fuck anymore.
Don't talk like that, man. You're tough. You'll always be tough.
I probably could have been pretty good if I would try. So, you can do that.
All right. Well,
Valor 46. About this shit, though.
Valor 46 is going to be a big one, guys. And it all kicks off on Saturday at 5 p.m. But before that, of course, we have the weigh-ins on Friday night at Tootsie's. We talked about it a little bit earlier, but I'm very, very pumped about that. We get those weigh-ins out of the way. We go to the fights, and then we return to Tootsie's that night, that Saturday night, for the official after party there on the rooftop. So, so pumped for that. But without further ado, let's get started on this card. No dark matches this time. We're going to go straight into live on Flow Combat with bout number one. It is presented by Tootsie's, and it is in the lightweight division. Muay Thai rules. We're talking about Julius Minta, the debut out of Demonic Hitters in Atlanta, Georgia, taking on Keegan Agnew, the debut out of SSF Clarksville, Tennessee. Tim, talk about this matchup.
Oh, it's a mystery on one end. We're not sure what we're going to get with Julius Minta. It'll be the first time we've had the Demonic Hitters up on a Valor event, and this is the first time he's competed. It looks like he's pretty tall and long, athletic, but it's his first time competing, so who knows. Keegan Agnew, on the other hand, this is his first time he's ever done Muay Thai, but a lot of MMA experience, a whole lot of MMA experience. So, you know, we'll see how he adapts here versus what I'm sure will be a game opponent.
All right, let's take it to the panel. First, let's go to Alan Poole. Alan, who you got in this one?
Yeah, I'm going with Keegan on this one just because of his experience with the MMA.
Okay. All right, Alan Poole picks Keegan Agnew. Sawyer Rich, who you got?
I mean, of course, I mean, I've got to go with Keegan. Keegan Agnew. He's had a ton of experience, got a great team. I mean, he's going to get it done.
All right, and on to Mark Laws. Who you got?
Man, the demonic hitters, they look like a bunch of hitters, man. They could go either way, I guess, but Agnew's definitely got the experience. I got to go with Keegan Agnew.
All right, we're going to go. That's a clean sweep for Keegan Agnew. All three panelists select him. Now, just saying, demonic hitters, man, you said they look like a bunch of hitters. Do they look demonic, though, like Kevin Sullivan from
very
NWA
much so.
Wrestling demonic?
Yeah,
very
these guys are kind
so.
Of scary, man. Wait till you get a load of these guys.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Characters are what it's all about. Moving on to bout number two, presented by Corporate Clothing. It's another Muay Thai rules kickboxing bout in the bantamweight division. And it features Derling Catalan, a debut out of Upper Cumberland MMA in Cookeville, Tennessee, taking on Michael Cribb, the debut out of Nashville MMA in Nashville, Tennessee. Tim, talk about this.
Another kind of mystery here. You know, we've got Derling coming out of Upper Cumberland. He'll be trained by Matt Violette. And, you know, I really just don't know much about him. He hasn't competed to my knowledge. Michael Cribb out of Nashville MMA and Sit the Law, trained by Chris Beasley. So, you know, they're a striking specialist. They're high on him, I know. They're excited for him to make his debut. But, you know, that's all I got.
All right. Let's go straight to Mark Laws and our panel to kick this thing off.
I'm going with Michael Crib for sure. I don't know much about the other guy either, but, man, you know, I put that trust in Sitlaw, man.
All right. Alan Poole, who you picking here?
Yeah, I'm also going with Crib, just based off his, you know, his training camp.
You're going to agree with Mark.
Well,
okay. All right. You need to Sawyer Rich, who you got?
Okay, I'm going to go with Crib. I'm sorry. I completely missed everything from that.
Well, I was saying we don't know much about him. I know we knew that Catalan is from Upper Cumberland, and we thought maybe you would know him because he's from Cookeville
well,
there.
No, I mean, yeah. I mean, I've worked with him. I've been doing some work with him, but, I mean, they're, like, fight training, like, certain, like, private, and yeah. I haven't really thought I'm doing much.
Well, so that's going Catalan. With Catalan, then.
That's the other guy.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. The panel scores it 2-1. It's a split decision, 2-1 for Michael Crib, with Sawyer Rich being the odd man out with Derlin Catalan. Bout number three brought to you by Artworks Tattoo Studio. It is in the featherweight division, mixed martial arts action, and it features Zane Evans, debut independent out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee, taking on Nolan Thomas, the debut out of Warriors Den in Dixon, Tennessee. Tim, let's hear about this matchup.
I have a feeling this is going to be a scrap, man. Zane Evans, it's his first MMA fight, but he stepped up for us and fought against one of your guys, Randall Austin, in a tie fight. And short notice, but he's a tall, lean, long guy at 145, and he's tough, you know, and he didn't have any time to really prepare for that. So he's had, you know, a month or more to prepare for this. I expect to have a better showing. He's definitely game. And Nolan Thomas, we don't know much about. It's his first fight. He's from Warriors Den. We haven't had them on too many cards, but on this one, we're fortunate to have three of their fighters. And so, you know, it's his first fight. Not exactly sure what to expect here. We know Zane Evans is a scrappy guy.
Yeah, Zane Evans, tall, lanky guy, and a very, very stiff hitter as well. So excited to see this matchup again. I don't know Nolan Thomas. But with that being said, I'm going to send it over to the panel. Let's start off with Sawyer Rich. Who you got in this matchup?
Well, I mean, obviously, I don't know much about him, but I've got to go. I'm going to go with the independent. I'm going to go with Zane Lewis. I hope he gets it, and I think he's going to get it done.
Okay, so you pick Zane Evans?
Yes.
Okay, all right, moving on. Alan Poole, who you got in this matchup?
Yeah, man, I just got a feeling maybe Nolan's going to take this one. I have no idea why, but I'm going with Nolan Thomas.
All right, and Mark Laws, who you got?
Zane Evans. He impressed the shit out of me last time.
All right, Zane Evans takes it 2-1 on the panel, ousting Nolan Thomas. But we will find out on Saturday if those words will come true. Moving on, bout number four, presented by Jits Revolution. It is a mixed martial arts matchup in the lightweight division featuring Lawson Quick, 0-1 out of Bunnies MMA in Winchester, Tennessee, versus Derek Lavasser, 1-0 out of Warriors Den in Dixon, Tennessee. Tim, let's hear about this matchup.
We know Lawson Quick. We haven't seen him in a while. He made his debut back in Chattanooga. I want to say he was Logan Neal's debut, and it was a really good fight, back and forth. Lawson Quick had a good accounting of himself there, and he's a long, sizable, you know, tough guy out of Bunnies. All of those guys that come out of Bunnies are always real tough. You know, so he'll be looking for his first win. He's, you know, he's taken the last year or so off and just trained, and so I expect him to come back even better. Derek Lavasser, not exactly a lot of information on him. I know that he made his debut just a month or so ago on that Angel and Angel card, and he won by TKO, and another Warriors Den guy. So we expect, you know, both these guys to come out and throw.
All right. Well, let's take it straight on to the panel. Let's start with Mark Laws. Who you got?
I'm going with the Warriors Den guy on this one. I think those guys got three guys on the card. They're probably coming to bang.
All right, Mark Laws picks Derek Lavasser. Sawyer Rich, your pick.
Yeah, I'm going to also pick Lavasser. He's got a win, probably coming in with a lot of confidence. Got a lot of guys on the card, probably going to have support, so he's going to get it done.
You just like saying that name, don't you? Lavasser.
Yeah.
Rolls off the tongue. Alan, who you picking this one?
Well, you guys obviously didn't take French in high school or college.
Lavasser.
It is Lavasser.
Oh yeah. You gotta get nasal with that, man. Come on.
No, that's
Le Bassier.
That's how you do it. Trust me on this one. I took it.
So down. That being said, are you gonna pick Lavassier, or well,
that's,
you have a loss?
That's my issue right here. Is that Mark picked it, but I have to go with that name alone. It just to so you guys know how to say it correctly, I'm going with Lavassier.
All right. Well, that being said, it's a sweep for Derek Lavassier. Now, that being said, my daughter would have picked Lawson Quick because he's out of Bunnies MMA and she loves bunnies. So that being said, I'm excited to see this matchup. Moving on, bout number five presented by OEB Law, and it is mixed martial arts action in the cruiserweight division. That's 225 pounds. Wemo Guy Jones, the debut out of Demonic Hitters in Atlanta, Georgia, taking on Dale Merritt, 5-4 out of Nashville MMA, Nashville, Tennessee, a guy that has been up and down the roads for more than a decade. Tim, talk about this fight.
Oh, this is a mystery. If there ever was one, man, so many question marks here. Wemo Guy Jones of Atlanta, this is his first time competing. Looks like a big, solid guy. Again, not exactly sure. You know what the skill level of these guys is going to be, but they all look to be athletic and game. He comes in on short notice to replace Dustin Johnson here against Dell. And Dell is a guy that's been out for like 5 years, man. He was a dominant force on the scene, blew out his knee, had to have that reconstructed. And so now he's coming back after a long layoff, certainly a ton of talent. A ton of potential. We'll see how this this long layoff will affect him, or if at all, you know. And again, against the mystery in Jones, who we really just don't know much about at all. So, I mean, these are big guys, 225. They're both going to be athletic and quick and big.
Very definitely a contrasting matchup here. Let's go to the panel and go to Alan Poole first. Who have you got in this one?
Well, I just need to make sure. Like this is regular MMA rules. It's not prison rules. Yeah, so there are no shanks allowed, no guns, no bats.
I wouldn't promise anything.
Okay. Yeah. Well, because if there are no rules, I'm going with Wemo Guy Jones just because all that Wemo Guy Jones and Demonic Hitters out of Atlanta, it just, I'm thinking he's got a shank somewhere on him. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going with Wemo Guy Jones.
Okay. Mark Laws, who you pick?
Man, I gotta agree with Alan on this. I gotta go take Jones. Not only does that guy have the most unique first name ever, but man, it looks like a savage. So who knows? Dell is quite established. Ain't been there in a long time, but shoot, I think the Demonic Hitter's got to take home one.
Tim, let me ask you this: is that his real first name? Did you see his Social Security card?
I have not.
We confirmed it.
I actually asked if that was one of my first questions. Is like, is that his real name? And they said yes, it is. So
excellent.
I'd take their word for it, man.
All right, Sawyer Rich, who are you picking in this one?
I've got to go 3-0 with Wemo Guy Jones. I think we're all afraid that if we pick against him, maybe we'll get stabbed or gangbanged or something. So we should probably pick him. I think he's gonna go get it done.
All right, all three panelists pick the young lion in Wemo Guy Jones. And moving on, bout number six.
Did he use gangbang in the proper...
I realized that I said that. I said gangbang.
I don't know that there is a proper...
I don't know anything about that.
I think it's like a multi-use like term.
Gangbang.
I just don't know that anyone wanted their name tied to the gangbang that was going to... Okay, never mind.
I don't want to get gangbanged, so go on. Either
All
way.
Right, we don't need an NC-17 rating on this thing, guys. Come on now.
Moving on.
Bout number six, presented by Tootsies. It's professional grappling at 170 pounds. We're talking about James Adcock out of KMAA in Knoxville, Tennessee, taking on Charlie C. for Alexander, Nashville MMA, Nashville, Tennessee, one of the most popular prospects in Nashville mixed martial arts, doing a little bit of grappling this time. Tim, talk about this.
Yeah, Charlie, he had a win in February over GQ Henning, and broke both his hands. And so he's on the mend from that. He's getting close to where he can actually fight again. But not quite ready to do MMA on this one. He definitely wanted to compete and be on the card in his hometown. So he's going to do some professional grappling. And James Adcock is a late replacement for DJ Mackey, who days back. So James Adcock, I think they're both purple belts, if I'm not mistaken. I know Adcock is, and I'm pretty sure Charlie is. So Adcock, out of a great grappling school at KMAA under Eric Turner. Charlie out of Nashville MMA with Sean Hammonds. You know, this should be fun. I don't see either one of these guys kind of stalling out or not this thing not being exciting.
All right, this could be one 10-minute round. Let's take it to the panel. Let's start with Mark Laws. Who do you pick here?
Taking Charlie Alexander.
Okay. All right, fair enough. And Alan Poole.
Yeah, I'm definitely going with Adcock, you know, just for, you know, a couple of reasons. One, his girlfriend, Christina Ricker, would attack me physically. And I like Adcock, man. You know, I think he's a great grappler. I'm going with Adcock.
All right, 1-1. Sorry, Rich, you're the tiebreaker here.
I think they're both, like, super great. I think Charlie's got probably – a lot of no-gi experience and a lot of like grappling for MMA. So I think he's going to get it done.
All right. Charlie C4 Alexander wins by split decision here in the picks. And only time will tell. Moving on, bout number 7, presented by Jits Revolution. Also professional grappling, contested at 170 pounds. Michael Bartlett out of 10th Planet, Cookeville, Tennessee, taking on Giovanni Ortiz, Jiu-Jitsu Nation, Smyrna, Tennessee. Tim, talk about this one.
This is an exciting one. We originally were going to do, man, Bartlett was against someone else to begin with. I can't remember right off who it was we had him with, but it didn't work out. And so we got Giovanni Ortiz, who's, you know, a great brown belt out of Smyrna, Jiu-Jitsu Nation. He's an instructor there. So yeah, it's this is really good. Michael Bartlett out of 10th Planet. He's very unorthodox and, you know, is very entertaining. So I think this is going to be a really fun one.
All right. Well, let's start with the panel. Sawyer Rich, you got Bartlett or Ortiz?
I mean, it's a no-brainer for me. I'm definitely going to go with Michael Bartlett. He moves a different way, and the way they like grapples is just so – people don't really have a guy like that that moves like him. He catches you in all kinds of stupid shit. So definitely going to get
him. All right. So your Rich picks Michael Bartlett. Alan Poole, who you got?
And this is actually a tough one. And listen to me. Anybody listening, this is a great matchup. I've seen both of these guys live. I saw Michael Bartlett take on. I saw him actually tap Josh Cate. I didn't even know what they were doing. Their legs were all twisted in this way, that way. I didn't know what was happening. I just know someone eventually tapped, and I okay. And Giovanni Ortiz, I saw him on the same night land a flying triangle. And they're both really, really exciting. And just, this is going to be good. I mean, this is going to be a great matchup. It's tough, man. I'm just going to go with Bartlett just because he seems older and maybe more experienced, but Giovanni Ortiz can slap on a triangle from any angle.
All right. Well, that's 2 for Michael Bartlett. Leaving Mark Laws, who you got?
Man, I'm going with Giovanni Ortiz just because these two dumbasses didn't choose him. Yeah, he may land the flying triangle, bro. What are you talking about? It doesn't matter how unorthodox he is.
It's kind of cool, Casey. We've got kind of both ends of the spectrum in these two pro grappling matches. We've got the pure, you know, the guys that mainly do these type competitions only, and you've got the two MMA fighters, you know, that are kind of taking a different avenue.
Yeah, I know, definitely bookends right there around the intermission. So very excited to see both those matchups. I think you're going to be very, very good to watch. Moving on, bout number 8, presented by Chips Transmissions. That is Mixed Martial Arts Action in the lightweight division. We're talking about the Grandmaster, Jermonte Brown, 0-3 out of Demonic Hitters in Atlanta, Georgia, taking on Jordan Willis, 1-0 out of SSF in Clarksville, Tennessee. Tim.
And we've got two very good athletes here. Javonte, he's the grandmaster of destruction, and he is the leader of the demonic hitters. He's like, he's my contact there. He's the guy that, you know, rallies the troops up and is a trainer. So, man, he's a very, you know, tall, rangy guy, and is, you know, kind of an enigma. You know, I'm really excited to meet him in person and be the first time that they've come up here, like we said earlier, taking on Jordan Willis, who is out of SSF in Clarksville, as you mentioned. I believe he's competed. Did he do the arena combat?
Yes, absolutely. And
so you've got two really athletic guys here. It's not as not that many fights, but he's still been around training for a while. I think this will be kind of a real good action fight.
Yeah, undoubtedly. All right, well, let's get some picks here from the panel. Let's start with Mark Laws, Cutman Extraordinaire.
Oh man, I got to go with the God of Destruction, man. He looks the part, man. I just see him pulling it off.
Okay, you're going with Grandmaster?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Alan Poole, who you pick?
Yeah, I don't know much about the Grandmaster, but he is out of, 0-3. I'm going with SSF on this one. I'm going with Willis.
Jordan Willis, yes. Okay.
That's my pick.
All right, that leaves Sawyer Rich. Who you got, man?
I've got to go with SSS, man. They've got a great team. They're going to have a lot of support. I just think they're going to be like near home and going to have a lot of push. So can't pick against them. So we've got to go with Willis.
All right. Jordan Willis makes a comeback, and he wins by split decision here in this in these previews. All right, in these picks. All right, moving on. Bout number 9, presented by Corporate Clothing. It is Advanced Muay Thai Competition for the Valor Fights Middleweight Championship. We're talking about Timmy Eisenbron, 1-2, out of Upper Cumberland MMA in Cookeville, Tennessee, taking on the Soul Snatcher, Dylan O'Sullivan, 4-0, out of The Compound in Johnson City, Tennessee. Tim.
Now we're getting into the nitty-gritty, as they would say. You know, these next three are for titles. We got those new titles in today. They look great. So I know all the fighters will be really excited to have a chance to compete for these things. And this one's going to be fun. This is going to be under our advanced rules. Like, you just got to see David Robbins and Josh Hill go at it. Because these are two very advanced guys that have had plenty of experience both in Muay Thai and MMA, both on that level to be ready to turn professional. Timmy Eisenbron's a guy that, a pretty experienced guy in MMA, former 3FC champion. He has also got some kickboxing experience as well, good power, but kind of more known as a more grapplery kind of guy. I think if this were an MMA fight, then Eisenbron might be a slight favorite for sure. But this being a tie fight, the specialty, if you will, of Dylan O'Sullivan, who's undefeated, all finishes, who's been more active here coming out of Johnson City, but coming on the road, that's another thing. You know, Dylan O'Sullivan has had the majority of his fights at home with a favorable crowd behind him. Now that the roles will be reversed, how will he react to being on the road against Eisenbron, who's a guy that's, you know, he's a pretty steely guy. He doesn't get too high or too low. He's very stoic, if you will, very much the polar opposite of the showman that is Dylan O'Sullivan. So I'm really stoked for this.
Undoubtedly. All right, let's take it to the panel. I want to start with Sawyer Rich.
Both these guys are super good. I think Dylan was a little in. Like Tim just said, I think he might have a problem coming and being so close to where Timmy's from. Timmy is super tough. I think he's better than anybody that Dylan's fought. I think he'll mix it up, and he'll be able to take more. And I think that Timmy is going to get it, probably finish.
All right, so your Rich picks Timmy Eisenbron. Mark Laws, who you got?
I'm going with the Soul Snatcher, Dylan O'Sullivan.
All right, one apiece. And Alan Poole.
Yeah, man. Even though the Soul Snatcher is kind of out of town, I think he's going to have a little following with him anyways, because there's kind of like almost a Cole Farrell type experience. Like, he's got his own Dylan O'Sullivan Irish flashy, I don't know what it's called, but he's got some swag to him, and I think he's going to get it done, and I think he's going to set the place on fire.
All right. A split panel here as Dylan O'Sullivan takes it in these picks. Moving on, bout number 10, presented by Tootsie's. It is mixed martial arts action in the flyweight division for the Valor Fights Interim Championship. It's Macho Miss Jenny Savage, 5-4 out of SSF Clarksville, Tennessee, taking on Pauline Pita Macias, 2-0 out of Nashville MMA in Nashville, Tennessee. Tim, this one is highly anticipated.
Yeah, really excited for this. This is, two of the top females in the whole Southeast, two of the top female prospects in the nation, dare I say. You know, Macias with a sterling training background, a former judo nationalist and a very pedigreed judo player, has trained with some of the top in the game, Ronda Rousey, the Diaz brothers, now training in Nashville MMA with Chris Beasley, already a stellar grappler and adding great striking to the mix now. I'm sure she's going to be a talent to watch, and she is a talent already that's on a lot of people's radar. Jennifer Clausius, one of the more experienced competitors in the region, and also in the runnings. I think she's in a tournament right now, maybe through Tough Enough, or don't quote me for sure if it's Tough Enough, but I know she's in a tournament to get an Invicta contract. So she's on the radar of national promotions as well. Both these ladies, very talented, and we're just really excited. And, you know, the winner will have the strap, but Alana Arnett, our current champion, who's been on the shelf with a hand injury, will be awaiting the winner. And I think however that shapes out will be awesome.
Well, we spoke with Jennifer Clausius, Macho Miss, earlier last week, and she said that, you know, she actually had some choice words for Alana Arnett, who they don't see eye to eye at all. So let's take it to the panel for your picks, and let's start out with Alan Poole. Who you got, Macho Miss or Pita Macias?
As much entertainment as Macho Miss's Facebook page provides me, I mean, she's made me laugh countless times. Man, someone that's training with Ronda Rousey and the Diaz brothers, I'm going to have to go with Pauline Pita on this one.
All right. Alan Poole picks Pita Macias. Mark Laws, make your pick.
Man, I can see it's going both ways. This is a tough call, but my gut says Pita Macias, but, you know, the Savage is out there, man. You never know when she's going to show up.
All right, it's two in the can for Pauline Pita Macias. That leaves Sawyer Rich. Who you got, man?
I'm going to be a third one for Pita Macias. I think she's probably going to have the grappling advantage for sure, and probably submission.
All right, well, there we have it. Unanimous picks for Pauline Pita Macias, but I will tell you this, it's going to be a big, big fight. This is one that everybody has their eyes on. Moving on, bout number 11, presented by OEB Law. It is a heavyweight matchup for the Valor Fights Championship. We're talking about Dakota McPherson, 5-1 out of Cobra Fitness in Savannah, Tennessee, versus the champ, Big Sexy Billy Swanson, 8-1 out of American Killer Bees in Cleveland, Tennessee. Tim, this one's going to rock.
Yeah, and, you know, we wanted to put this one together for a while, and I'm actually kind of glad that it's taken so long to put together, because now these guys are both towards the end of their amateur careers, great records. Dakota's the B3 champion, Billy's the Valor champion, has been now for a good bit. They're going to collide, and we're going to see who the best heavyweight in the state is.
All right, let's go to the panel for your picks in this heavyweight championship matchup. Let's go to Sawyer Rich first. Who you got, man?
I mean, I've got to go with Billy Swanson. He's like, he wants it. He's on fire. He always gets up. Like high-kicking guys, he's getting progressively better, so I think he's going to get it done.
Not only high-kicking, I heard he's cartwheel-kicking, Bam Bam Bigelow style. You know what I'm saying? Mark Laws, who you pick?
Man, I got to go with Big Sexy on this one, man. Billy Swanson. I think he gets it done.
And Alan Poole.
Yeah, I got nothing but respect for McPherson, but Billy Swanson could be fighting King Kong. And, I'm friends with Billy, so I'm going Billy.
All right, we have it. It is unanimous picks for Big Sexy Billy Swanson. And it all goes down Saturday night. Moving on, bout number 12, presented by Chips Transmissions. professional MMA in the cruiserweight division. That's 225 pounds, one of the new divisions. Terrence Hodges, Jefe, if you will, 0-3 out of American Top Team Atlanta, Georgia, taking on Jason Arnold, 1-0, independent out of Manchester, Tennessee. Tim, how'd this one come together?
You know, originally, it's odd how these things happen, but originally it was we were booking Wesley Sullivan for this, and this is Wesley Sullivan's brother or brother-in-law, and he had essentially had, you know, talked me into booking him too, and I'd heard good things. I know he's a hitter. His one win is a knockout over Malcolm Hardman, who is a top prospect out of Alabama, and I know he's a hitter for sure, but Wesley ended up having to pull, and that left Jason still on the card. And oh, it was a one of those really trying last 48 hours to get him licensed, and we pulled it off by hook or by crook. Thank you, Aisha, at the commission. Taking on Terrence Hodges, who we've seen a couple times, much better, much more dangerous than his record would indicate. 0-3, but man, I would dare say probably the most dangerous 0-3 on the planet. You know, out of American Top Team, he's been in there with some tough competition. In our cage, he fought Frank Tate and Kim Odie, and the Kim Odie fight, if y'all remember, was just a war. Very tough guy, and I think that this is going to be a real good way to kick off the program.
Yeah, it's interesting too when you talk about Hodges and those, how that connects Kim Odie and Frank Tate, who actually just met back at the Bellator Monster Energy Series in Talladega. So, you know, that's a really good mix of big guys. Jason Arnold, though, coming in as a new blood here. Let's go straight on over to Alan Poole and get your pick first.
Yeah, man, I'm having a tough time deciding on this one, too, because I saw the haymaker, and I feel like that power's always going to be there, but I don't know what his ground game is like. So, but, you know, just for shits and giggles, man, I'm going to go with Jason Arnold, knockout. Haymaker.
All right, Alan Poole picks Jason Arnold.
These are cruiserweights, too, you know. These are going to be, like, quick heavyweights.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why the cruiserweight division is so exciting. We've already seen a little taste of that in a few of the previous events. And, yeah, you're exactly right. It's really fast heavyweights that aren't going to make the 205 weight class. Sawyer Rich, who you got in this one?
I think the cruiserweight thing's awesome. I love the 225. There's a lot of heavyweights that shouldn't be fighting. I mean, I think it's kind of a mismatch. You have, like, a 265 versus a 215 guy. I think it's ridiculous, so... I'm excited about that. I think I like the independent guy. I want him to definitely win. He's got some power, so I think he's going to catch a good shot and knock him out.
Jason Arnold. All right, and Mark Laws.
Well, with Jefe taking it, man, that's a nasty 0-3, bro. He can sleep about anybody if need be. So I'm going with Jefe Hodges.
All right. And that is your lineup for this cruiserweight matchup. Next match, Bout 13, brought to you by Jits Revolution. Catch weight at 150 pounds in professional mixed martial arts action. David Lightning Lewis making his pro debut out of Hiaston in Dalton, Georgia. Taking on Alex Riggs, also a pro debut out of Warriors Den in Dixon, Tennessee. Tim, how did this one come together?
Oh, man. I'm going to have to go on a side rant tangent, if I may. Originally supposed to be Dwayne Harrell, very talented guy, going to make his pro debut out of Swift Kicks gym there, Bernard Robinson. I stay in their ear for, just like I stay in everybody's ear, annoyingly so, for weeks all the way up to the deadline to get licensing in, and everyone plays ignorant at the last minute, and he gets nothing in. So Dwayne Harrell doesn't get his shit together, for lack of a better word, to get licensed. David Lewis was originally supposed to compete a couple weeks ago in Chattanooga at Valor 45, made the weight, but was too dehydrated, ended up in the hospital and couldn't compete. So he's already licensed. They approved him. He goes all the way up to 150 pounds, normally 135 pounds. And he's going to take on Alex Riggs, who's a tall, big guy at 150, but doesn't have the experience. I think he actually has more fights, amateur fights, than David. But David has so much wrestling experience and also the kickboxing experience as of late. He hasn't competed in a couple of years. It's an interesting fight. There's going to be a pretty noticeable size difference, I think, here. But yeah, Lewis, a handful for anyone.
Yeah, undoubtedly. All right, let's take it to the panel for these picks. Let's start off with Cutman Mark Laws.
Man, I think I would have taken Harold at the beginning, and then when all the shit went down to Laws, I mean, yeah, it's a great replacement. However, I just don't think the size difference is going to play in David Lewis's hands. I think Riggs gets it done.
Okay. Moving on, Alan Poole, who you pick?
Yeah, finally, man. Mark made a terrible decision there. So I was watching some footage of Lewis today, man. I've never seen someone headbutt someone's chest before. I've never seen that. It was like the only way he could attack his opponent was with his head to the person's chest, and he went for it. He's mean as hell. he's athletic. He's got great wrestling. I'm going with David Lewis.
All right. Sawyer Ridge for the tiebreaker.
Well, it's going to be three for Lewis. I think the size difference isn't going to play a big factor. I think he's going to probably get the takedown pretty easily and do whatever.
All right. Well, there you have it. Great matchup. Catchweight matchup at 150 pounds. Two pro debuts that are going to make fireworks. Moving on, bout number 14, presented by the Valor Hour. And it is professional mixed martial arts in the middleweight division. Dustin Collins, 0-1 out of Viper Pit in Hazard, Kentucky, taking on Rico Ralston, 3-7 out of Waverly's MMA in Waverly, Tennessee. Tim, what's your thought?
Yeah, this is an interesting little fight here. You know, it kind of came together at the last minute. Dustin Collins is a guy that was a solid amateur in Kentucky. Got plucked to go to Bellator to fight Ed Ruth for Ed Ruth's pro debut. Lost that one. And then what? They wouldn't allow him to compete in Kentucky after that because I guess he didn't meet the requirements as an amateur before he turned pro or some such. Anywho, he's a talented grappler. He's solid. All those guys out of Viper Pit there, the brothers Beverly and Jared Short and several other solid fighters there under Donald Nease. He's going to be, you know, in shape and a solid fighter, probably a good grappler. Taking on Rico Ralston, a guy who's 3-7, hasn't had a great run of it as far as record goes, but he's fought some top-notch competition. He's very athletic. He just boxed up there, if you remember, against Mike Thomas. So it's an interesting fight. You know, two guys that need a pro win, and one of them's going to get it.
Yeah, Ralston looked great against Mike Thomas. I believe that ended up a draw. But he really came to bang against a guy who's been boxing virtually his entire life. So I'm excited for this matchup. Let's go to the panel and start with Alan Poole. Who you got?
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about Rico. So I'm just going to go with the Viper Pit and Dustin Collins on this one. Even though he's 0-1, you know, never count those guys out at Viper Pit.
All right, moving on. Sawyer Rich, who you got?
I think it's pretty tough to call. I think they're both going to be wanting to win really bad. So I'm going to go with Ralston on this one based on he's had fought better competition. I'm sure he's had a hard run, but I'm sure he's fought a lot of guys. So we're going to go with him.
All right. One apiece as we head into Cutman Mark Laws. Who you got, man?
You know, anybody who fought Ed Ruth is definitely getting my nod, man. I'm going with Collins.
All right. Dustin Collins gets the tip there. Moving on, bout number 15, Hogs Upstairs Tavern, presented by Hogs Upstairs Tavern, and it is professional Muay Thai in the welterweight division. Avante Moore, pro debut out of Team Octopus in Atlanta, Georgia, taking on DJ Miller, 4-3 out of Siptha Law and Nashville MMA. Nashville, Tennessee. Tim, very excited to see this action, this Muay Thai action here.
Yeah, we always like to see DJ get in some action whenever we go to Nashville, his hometown. He's always the showman, puts on great fights, a true Muay Thai fighter. Avante Moore, we don't know much about, but, you know, he stepped up and was willing to take this fight. Looked up DJ, he knows what he's about. He hasn't competed in a bit, it looks like, but has competed on that Atlanta scene in the past in MMA. And so, we'll see what happens. I think he'll be the bigger guy. They're fighting at 170. DJ's a guy that can get down to 55. So, we'll see what happens, man. It's no doubt it'll be exciting.
All right, panel, let's get this started. Sawyer Rich, your pick.
I mean, I can't go against DJ Miller. He's going to be in Nashville. He always throws to hurt you. He's got great combinations, great form. I think he's definitely going to go out and put a show on.
Mark Laws.
This spot's going to suck for me, man. How do you look up DJ Miller and decide that's the guy you want to fucking fight, man? Like, that guy's a stone cold killer, dude. DJ Miller, first round elbows.
Alan Poole.
You know what? I feel like everybody's bullying Avante here, so I'm going to stick up for him, and I'm going with Moore on this one.
You're going with Avante Moore? All right.
Yes.
DJ Miller still takes it 2-1. And we'll see how it turns out come Saturday night. Moving on, bout number 16, brought to you by Artworks Tattoo Studio. It's professional MMA. It's our pro feature bout in the flyweight division. Dre Miley, 2-1 out of KMAA in Knoxville, Tennessee, taking on Chris Ocon, the pro debut out of Nashville MMA in Nashville, Tennessee. Tim, this one's going to be great.
Yeah, this will be very exciting. You know, Dre Miley, one of the most exciting flyweights out there. He's all action. He's a beast. You know, he's very, very strong, athletic. Started training with Frankie's now, and we expect him to just be at his top form. Chris Ocon's not a guy that's easy to match for his pro debut. In my opinion, one of the very top amateurs in the nation. Probably, in my opinion, the top amateur in the state, no doubt. Undefeated. He's never been beat. He's 10-0, 11-0, holds several amateur titles. And has some good wins. He beat Ed Massey as an amateur. And so he's dropping down to flyweight, though, for the first time. And he is going to be a massive flyweight. We'll see if that weight cut affects him at all. But, man, you know, it's definitely a special talent. Jumping into the deep end right away for his pro debut against Dre Miley, who's very tough and experienced from a great camp in KMAA.
All right. This one's going to be a tough one to call. Panel, you guys ready to rock?
Yeah, man. Bring it.
All right. Mark Laws, kick it off.
Oh, man, Dre's always been tough, man. You know, if you're coming to beat him, you got to bring your shit. And unfortunately, Christian Ocon brings that shit, man. And as much as it pains me to have to pick one of these guys, I got to give Ocon a slight nod on athleticism and everything else. I'm going Ocon.
All right, Alan Poole, who you pick?
Yeah, man. I was watching a little footage on Ocon today, and like you can see, he's a thinker, right? He really thinks inside the cage. He tries different feints to see how his opponent reacts, and I was really impressed with what I saw. Now, when you go against someone like Dre Miley, you know he's someone that reacts. I don't even know how to explain the way that he moves, but I really want to see how these styles clash, you know. And you know, of course, Dre only has one eye. You know, he's at a bit of a disadvantage, and we'll see how that plays out. But I'm going with Dre, man. I'm going with my man. He's in the best shape I've ever seen him in. So I'm going with
a one apiece. Saw you're rich. You're the tiebreaker.
Yeah, I like this fight a lot. I love Dre Miley. He's a scrapper, man. You gotta. Like Mark Wall said, you got to bring your shit to beat him, man. Because you can come at him, and he'll keep find a way to keep coming. But I got to give it to Ocon. I think he's making his pro debut, but he's been a pro-level fighter, you know. I mean, while he's an amateur. So I don't think it's going to be – yeah, I think he's going to get the win. I almost changed my mind just then. I was like – but, yeah, I think he's going to get it. So that'll be for Ocon.
All right, Chris Ocon gets the slight nod here in the picks. And again, this is going to be a great pro feature bout. Moving on to our co-main event, and this is the Valor Fights Featherweight Championship semifinal matchup, and it's presented by Ogle Elrod and Beryl. Nathan Williams, 5-3 out of X3 Sports in Atlanta, Georgia, taking on Midget Dynamite Cromwell Stewart, 2-1-1. Out of Blaylock's IMB, Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia. And let's send it straight on over to Sawyer Rich send it over to Tim Loy for the breakdown on this fight.
You know, this is the first of essentially two number one contender fights. So whoever comes out of these fights and wins this pro title will have won two in a row over tough competition. And we haven't had a featherweight pro championship yet. So, you know, in the 3FC, we had Nate Landwehr. And that's the only one we've ever had. So we're excited to crown another one here down the road. But Nathan Williams out of X3, a guy that we have been trying to get on for a while. We're very excited to have him against Cromwell Stewart, who had some
He fought Sawyer, actually, I guess, in his last one. And it was, that was in, was that in February, Sawyer, or November?
November.
Yeah. Okay. So February, he was supposed to compete again and had some weight cutting issues that put him in the hospital. So he now will be coming back after nearly a year to the day to co-main event once again. So, you know, will the time off on the shelf affect him versus that Nathan Williams that's been staying very busy, both very athletic, very explosive, both good wrestlers. It's going to be a really good fight.
All right. Well, Sawyer, let's get your pick here.
I think it's going to be a good fight, man. I know that Stewart switched teams. He's now with Blaylock. So,
No.
There, Adam.
That's a typo.
He's Nashville. Okay, he's still at home, so I think he's definitely going to have the home advantage. I think brand it, dude. It's going to be a great fight. I'm going to go next three, experience. I think he's just going to want more, so I'm going to have to go with next three on this one.
Nathan Williams.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Mark Laws, who you pick?
Man, I want to pick Cromwell just because he beat Sawyer's ass, but, you know, like, he's a man. There's no way Nate Williams is coming up here to lose, man. That's a big 45er, bro. That's a big one. Now, I saw Cromwell last week at Nashville MMA, and he looks in shape. Doesn't look like the weight cut's going to be that big an issue. But everybody always thinks the weight cut ain't going to be a big issue. So I'm going with Nathan Williams.
All right. And one more, Alan Poole, who you got?
Yeah, I got Nathan Williams on this one as well. Just because Midget Dynamite held down my man Sawyer for so long, and I feel like he wasn't busy enough. So, therefore, I'm going with Nathan Williams.
All right, Nathan Williams across the board, and that leaves one fight, and that is our main event, another Valor Fights semifinal featherweight matchup presented by Tootsies. And it's Jacob the Killer Kilburn, 3-1 out of Harris Holt MMA in Clarksville, Tennessee, versus Edward the Ninja Massey, 4-1 out of SSF in Clarksville, Tennessee. Tim, what a great main event.
Yeah, this is the Clarksville special. You know, this is the two main teams in Clarksville, SSF and Harris Holt. They don't like each other, you know, and so I don't know if this is the first time that they fought each other, but if it's not, then there haven't been many before it. That said, you know, neither side has really gotten into too much of the mudslinging here on this one. Both guys have been very professional. Kilburn, 3-1, has fought the majority of his fights on the Angel and Angel and Hard Rock shows. So it's the first time he's fought with us. We'll see what he's about. Looks really good on tape. Ed Massey has fought the majority of his pro fights with us, and we know what he's about. Moving up to 145, however, from his normal 135, where he has a lot of advantages. Will those carry over to 145? We'll find out. So the winner of this one will fight the winner of the fight right before it and set up a title fight here a few months down the road.
All right, well, let's head right on over to the panel. Start out with Alan Poole. Who are you picking this one?
Man, I'm going to go with Jacob the Killer Kilburn on this one. I just got a feeling about it. I don't have anything super awesome or cool to say, but that's what I'm going with.
Well, all right. Well, I'm going to go straight on over to Mark Laws. Who you pick?
Man, that's a good match. Massey is supposed to win, I think. But Kilburn's a tough son of a bitch, man. I watched his videos today, and he's stunting dudes, man. I wouldn't be at all surprised if Kilburn wins, but my heart says Massey.
All right, one apiece. That leaves Sawyer Rich for the final selection.
It's hard to pick against Massey. I mean, he's had all spots for Valor. He's fought more. He's more experienced as a professional. I think he's going to have going to get the win. He's going to have more push behind him.
All right, and that does it for the official Valor 46 event preview. And again, it goes down this Saturday night, November 4th. And it's going to be a tremendous weekend of action. We're talking about the weigh-ins at Tootsie's on Friday night. And then, of course, the event there at the fairgrounds, the Nashville Fairgrounds Arena. And then back to Tootsie's for the official after party there on the rooftop. Everybody, you need to get your tickets as soon as possible. If there is ever going to be a sellout in the Nashville region, this will be it. And with that being said, that is the end of another Valor Fights preview, but also another episode of the Valor Hour. Now, remember, we appreciate all of your listens. We need your shares. We appreciate you, all your likes and all of your support. But please share and subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. And one more time, be sure to get your tickets for Valor Fights 46 this Saturday night. But with that being said, it is time to close it out. And we will see you next week. I'm Casey Oxendine. And for myself and Tim Loy, we'll see you next week on the Valor Hour.
For more information on upcoming events, visit ValorFights.com or find them at Valor Fights on both Facebook and Twitter. This has been the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out radioinfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, radioinfluence.com.